Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you can tell from the gospel lesson, there's a lot of meat in our readings today. You know, it doesn't hurt to repeat this. Yeah, I had a pastor one time tell me, you Lutherans read too much scripture in service. And I said, well, why do you say that? And he says, well, you just confuse people. You just need to give them one or two verses. And I thought, no, what we do is we read the entire Bible in a three-year rotation. And I think it's important because, you know, if I ask, how many of you read your Bible at home? Okay, half of you might do that. Okay, so this way, you get to hear the scriptures. And as I started to come out today, and if you notice, it says, am I my brother's keeper, or is Jesus my keeper? Because I think it's important, you know, especially building on last week's sermon too, that we talk about that. And then Peggy told me I had to change. Well, when you go back and repeat a sermon for me that I did 6 years ago, it must have had some input. But it's a little bit different. I mean, I can't do the same thing over again. But you know, I always begin my sermons with that, you know, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father. Anybody know where that comes from? You know, have you heard a lot of pastors do it?
Yeah.
That's the greeting that the Apostle Paul puts in all his letters. All right, so whenever we say that from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's Paul speaking. No, not me. It's just like when we do confession, that comes out of John 1. And the absolution comes out of John 1. You know, what we do in a church service all comes out of the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is important. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. In Latin, it's sola scriptura. You know, so when we start looking at this, I think it's important. But I want to look at that greeting a little bit more. Because it's a greeting to you from God, our Father. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Paul's not saying, I wish you. Okay, it's coming from God. Peggy got me watching, was that on YouTube yesterday?
No, it was on Netflix.
What's it called? I'm going to put a link in the bulletin for next week. It was one of the most interesting hours I've spent in a long time about what is the difference between people that preach prosperity ministry and people who preach the Bible. And it was interesting because it had Presbyterians, Lutherans, Baptists, Assembly of God. It was all these people talking about what the basic message of Christianity and how it's lost in America. You know, and one of the things that was being said that I just couldn't believe is people are preaching that because we're made in God's image, that we can be gods ourselves. No, I don't buy that at all, nor does Scripture say that. Okay, we might be made in God's image, but we're born into sin. Okay, that's not God's image. Well, why today? Well, it's Father's Day. And it's one of those holidays that's made up, just like Mother's Day is made up. But I got to thinking, what is a father? Of course, you know how I like to look things up. Here's what Wikipedia defines a father. A father is the male parent of a child. Besides the paternal bonds of a father to his children, the father may have a parental, legal, and social relationship with the child that carries with it certain rights and obligations. An adoptive father is a male who has become the child's parent through the legal process of adoption. A biological father is the male genetic contributor to the creation of the infant, although through sexual intercourse or sperm donation. So a biological father may have legal obligations to a child not raised by him, such as an obligation of monetary support. A putative father is a man whose biological relation to a child is alleged but not been established. A stepfather is a male who is the husband of a child's mother, and they may form a family unit, but who generally does not have the legal rights and responsibilities of a parent in relation to the child. All right, so I wrote this, and last night I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the one with Kurt Russell, and the Ravager, who's in it. I don't know if you know the movie. Anyway, this guy raises the boy, and the boy was actually the son of Kurt Russell, who's a god, he's whatever, so he's half god. So Kurt Russell is the biological father, this other guy is the one who raised him, and like the kid says at the end, you're my father because you're the one that loved me and raised me. All right, so what is the father? Well, he's the person who loves us, takes care of us, and wants the best for us. Isn't necessarily the baby daddy or the sperm donor, as I've heard it referred to. But it's the person who's a positive influence in the life of that child. So, today, when I'm talking about, am I my brother's keeper? And is Jesus our keeper? Is Jesus acting as our father too? Of course he is. And are we acting as a father figure for those who need that blessing? Well, I could turn around and say, are we acting as a mother's figure for somebody who needs that blessing? You know why I don't like baby daddy or sperm donor instead of father? Because there's no responsibility for the baby. And there's no responsibility for the child. Well, so is a father important? Well, Jesus calls God Abba. And no, it's not the Swedish singing group. But that's who they're named after. Abba is father in Aramaic. And Aramaic is the language of the people of this time period. It's a form of Hebrew. Okay, uses the Hebrew alphabet. So Jesus acknowledges that relationship he has with his heavenly father. But did his heavenly father raise him? Or was that even the job of the heavenly father? No. There's sort of two jobs in there. There's your heavenly father and your earthly father. Now, Joseph is the earthly father. After the incarnation, you know, when Jesus became flesh, we don't hear a lot about Joseph in the Bible, except he took the family to Egypt and then brought him back. But we do know that both Jesus and his father Joseph worked at the city of Capernaum that Herod was building. Now, I've never been to the Middle East, but I've seen pictures of this. Dr. Meyer, what's the historian? Anyway, he does a lot of videos, but he did a church video series on the Holy Land. And so they're in Nazareth, and they've got this little outside area that they're talking. And Paul Meyer, thank you. Anyway, he's the head of the history department at Central Michigan University. Not even a big one, but a great theologian. His dad was Walter A. Meyer I, who was the voice of the Lutheran Hour for years. But anyway, Paul says, folks, we talk about this stuff. We're standing in Nazareth. He said, you see the city up there on that hill? About 3 miles away, that's Capernaum. Okay? You see the city down there in the valley? That's Jerusalem. Folks, all this stuff is close to each other. Okay? Now, we know that Jesus and his father worked in Capernaum as stone cutters. All right, well, what do you mean stone cutter? I thought he was a carpenter. The word in Greek that is translated actually means someone who works with tools with his hands. All right, so he could be a carpenter. He could be a stone cutter. Okay, there were a lot of trees. But the thing is, you got to work. Okay, you got to make money somehow. And the work was there. So the guys would walk 3 miles up to Capernaum, work for a day, and walk back. Okay? So we know that Jesus was working with his dad. Joseph had the typical father role. He taught his son a trade, and Jesus learned from him. Well, so how do the duties of a heavenly father differ from that of the earthly father? Well, again, is a father even needed? Research has shown that a mother is a nurturer for her children. Okay, the mother nurtures. The father is the person in a child's life who teaches integrity and teaches the life lessons that are needed. Well, what do you mean? Well, a father many times will let a child fail so he can learn. Remember, we've talked in here, you don't learn from what you do well, you learn from your mistakes. And if a nurturer is not letting you make the mistakes, you're not learning. Does that make sense? Okay. So actually, you need both people. You need somebody to nurture a child and somebody to teach the integrity to the child. And they're both needed, you know. And that's why many times single child or single parent homes are tough. Especially today with what's going on in our society. But the thing I find is as the earthly father is teaching, it's our heavenly father that allows this to happen. They work together. Okay? My dad died 50 years ago when I was in my first year of college. Actually, 49 if you want to get technical. So I haven't had my earthly father for most of my life. But I've talked to you about him, haven't I? Okay? So he is still that influence in my life. Well, I believe he was with me. I believe he's still with me, just as my heavenly father is with me. And it's the most important thing in my life is my relationship with my heavenly father. Folks, I was supposed to go to the seminary in 1976. And that's when the trouble started happening in the Missouri Synod of Lutheran Church, and I chickened out. Let's see, 76, that's 44 years ago. So I could have been a pastor for 44 years, but I waited. You know, and it's funny how things work, because if I hadn't waited, I wouldn't have met Peggy. If I hadn't waited, I wouldn't be here. Okay? And you know, God works in mysterious ways. But our Heavenly Father has got a plan for us, and he always lets us do it. Let me share this with you. Gail Sayers. Remember Gail Sayers, running back for the Chicago Bears? Great athlete from Omaha. In fact, it was really funny. My first high school football game, my dad took me to. He went to Omaha Tech, and Gail Sayers went to Omaha Central. And they both schools used to use the junior high football field that was right by my house for their games. So Dad took me up one Friday night. First high school, I must have been 8 years old, 10 years old, something like that. Anyway, we got up and sat down, and Tech kicked off, and Gail Sayers took it about 3 yards deep in the end zone, ran it all the way back for a touchdown. That was my first introduction to high school football. You know, but a tremendous athlete. And I don't know how many of you were watching the games when Gail Sayers got hit on both high and low, and his knee got destroyed. Well, you know, he was a multimillionaire, arrogant, okay, that kind of thing. And so they do the surgery, and he's got to go through rehab. And so, well, I'm a professional athlete. I'm in great shape. He goes to rehab, walks in, and here's all these old men after heart surgeries and limb surgeries who are exercising. So Gail says, oh, I can do this. Gets in there, finds out these guys can do more sit-ups than he can. They can do more push-ups. They're in better shape, better resting heart rate. And he says, it was a humbling experience. Well, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to behold. What it did is it turned Gail Sayers back to God, and he wrote a book. The book is called I Am Third. God is first, my family is second, and I am third. Now think about that for a second. Here's a heavenly father who's taking care of his family, who's being led, earthly father being led by his heavenly father. Okay? God is first, my family second, I'm third. And I think what it made him do is look at his life, and it changed him. So I think a great lesson about the integrity of the responsibility of being a father and receiving the blessings of both a heavenly father and an earthly father. And in closing today, I want to share something with you. My dad played professional baseball for St. Louis. My grandfather played professional baseball back in the early 10s, but played minor league. And so I was supposed to be a professional baseball player too. And I'm a great hitter, okay? I'm a great outfielder. I can't run to save my soul, even back then, because I have real short legs. In fact, when they wanted to teach us how to hit, they brought Stan Musial up from St. Louis to teach us how to hit. Well, Stan Musial, you know, back in the 60s, was the player. And so Stan's there, he said, all right, Steve, you got to look for the spin of the ball as it's coming into you. I said, what do you mean? Well, look at the thread thing as it's coming in, see which way it's spinning. I said, you can see that? He says, you can. I said, no. And so he took a red pen, put a big red circle on it. He said, look for the circle. I didn't see it. Jeff.
Ball will always break in the direction it's spinning.
It's spinning. Well, yeah, but I didn't know that. And the thing is, I didn't see it. So, did I look for the red dot? Yeah. Did I see it? No. Then my dad says, all right, if you're going to be an outfielder, here's what I want you to do. Dad went out in the outfield. Face the wall. He went from the sound of the ball coming off the bat to whatever field he had to go to catch the ball without even looking at it. Well, guys, I don't have that kind of talent. No wonder these guys are playing in the big leagues. But I got to tell you, we did a summer musical in OPS the year after my senior year. And we did Fiddler on the Roof, and I played Laser Wolf the Butcher. Okay? I didn't know this, but it was after my folks got a divorce. My dad came to every show for 3 weeks. And the last night he came backstage, and the tears are running. And he says, I finally understand that being a baseball player is not the most important thing. You know, he says, go do it. He says, I am so proud of you. You know, but the thing is, my earthly father was on my side. You know, what a blessing. And it wasn't long after that he was killed in a boating accident. You know, but I have that memory of that happening. You know, it's a chance for us to say thank you. You know, even if you had an awful father, you still learn what not to do as well as what to do. And I think that's what the blessing is of having a heavenly father that looks down on us, takes care of us, and puts that person in our life to help lead us to do what's right, to give us the integrity of life. Our hymn today is Make Me a Captive, Lord. And I looked at it because it's by coming a captive to the Lord, to our Heavenly Father, that it sets us free. It's our sermon hymn. 488 is our next hymn. So as you're singing it today, look at the words. You know, many times the theology is just as important. It comes out of the hymns we sing. So let us pray. Abba, thank you for everything you do for us and for allowing us to learn how to be better Christians in your service as being led by our fathers. Help us to get better in our service to you and being the same influence on those we meet. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.